Now, dear friends, let's pray together. Our gracious God and our loving Heavenly Father, we praise Thee for the riches of Thy Word and how it searches our hearts and lays bare who we are within. We praise Thee for this great gift. There is no other book like this. We adore Thee for such kindness to us. We praise Thee for the Lord Jesus Christ, our Saviour, for whose sake we have this access, for this understanding and this blessing. O Lord, we praise Thee for His dying love on the cross of Calvary to purchase for us pardon and cleansing and reconciliation with Thyself. In His name alone we draw near to Thee and ask that Thou would forgive us our sins afresh and receive us. O Lord, cleanse us and grant that there be real, vital life in our souls, that love to Christ burns deep in us. Look upon each one of us and bless us. Grant that our studies this time will be of profit to us. O Lord, help each one of us that we may be truly profited. We ask these things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Saviour, and for His sake. Amen. My dear friends, we want to pick up a single study tonight, and probably I may be picking one or two more later. Then we will, the Lord helping us, perhaps begin with another series. So in the meantime, we have a single study this evening, and we turn into the book of Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 14. Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 14. The backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways, and a good man shall be satisfied from himself. Now, this is backsliding in heart, or backsliding in heart, and this is a very important theme, because Christianity is avowedly a heart religion, a heart profession. We are brought to the Savior so sincerely, and we are brought to truly yield our hearts to Him. We are made to see by the work of His Spirit our total dependence upon what He did on Calvary. We are made to appreciate and to have a deep sense of wonder and a sense of debt towards the Lord Jesus Christ. And our obedience to Him also follow the same pattern. We don't just obey outwardly. We don't just carry ourselves in a nice manner on the outside so that we seem to be nice people. Well, that could be achieved by all manner of means. But we are heartly people, Christians. We delight in the law of the Lord, and our hearts rests upon the word of the Lord. We rest our hopes upon Him. Our hopes are with Him. Our delights are in Him. Now, these elements have to be so much stressed these days, because increasingly Christianity is becoming merely an outward conformity. My dear friends, if we ever leave our religion to become a mere outward conformity, it will have no spiritual power, it will have no consolations, it will have no strength to uphold us in times of difficulty. And we cannot be rejoicing people, indeed, my dear friends. But the trouble is backsliding. Backsliding comes our way. Oh, this is a sad theme that it should ever happen. That people who have been so favored, that people who have been so blessed with access to Almighty God and the privilege to be called children of God and set privileges of answers to prayer and understanding, the Spirit dwelling in our hearts as our aid and support, that we should be said that we will backslide. This is very sad. It is sad. But it is real, we know. That Christians every now and then grow cold, and then we lose our focus. Unfortunately, whenever we are thinking of backsliding, some people only think of persons who no longer go to church, who no longer walk around Christians, and who no longer or perhaps have begun to believe in some open, obvious sins. But no, friends, that would be a very far, far stage in backsliding. In fact, at that stage, we have to even raise the question of whether conversion was genuine, even though a genuinely converted person may backslide and get into the extremes of former sins. Yet, in that condition, no one will be able to be sure whether he or she is a Christian or not. The only way out to be sure is when light returns and we are brought back to the fold of the Lord and brought back into communion with him. And so we are not dealing with extreme cases here, as our text show. Our text is dealing with that which begins, that which is at the very foundation of all open and very obvious backsliding. And it is backsliding in heart. And of course, this is the most important because this is what God notices. It is God notices this very quickly. He takes notice of this. The Spirit of God who dwells in our hearts notices this. And then from then on, the Lord knows, even though other people around us may still think us wonderful Christians, and yet the Lord would have noticed that there's so much wrong with us and that our hearts have lost their way and their former fervor and zeal and life. Friends, this is a sad theme to talk about, but the reality of it should let us bring this theme every now and then to our attention. And that's what we want to do even now, my dear friends. And so we're dealing with backsliding in heart. When our hearts go away from the Lord, as I mentioned, it simply means, what is it like? Well, we say it is a state where a Christian, now begins to lose real spiritual interest in the things of the Lord. He loses interest in communion and living for the Lord and in the service of Christ, and spiritual things becomes no longer attractive. And he's not just attractive to him, but he's attracted to something else, something the opposite. He's now attracted to the world and to living to the flesh and to be pleasing the suggestions of his own mind, things like this. He sees, as it were, to walk the path of godliness. He's no longer fighting for the Lord, no longer fighting against sins. He's no longer fighting against worldly ideas, worldly opinions. Now he yields to them and he wants to make use of them and embrace them. He no longer delights himself in the fellowship of Christians. If there are people who are supposed to be Christians in whose friendship and companionship he delights in, well, you will realize, unfortunately, that those other companions are just like himself. They've also backslidden in heart, so that in their company, nothing really spiritual is delightful. And no real concerns about pleasing the Lord and honoring the Lord and serving the Lord and maintaining communion and spiritual themes of heaven. These things are no longer interesting to the heart, to the person. Again, these things are so badly diminished. And we must always add that this person may still maintain the outward forms. He may still go to church. He may still try to read through a few verses of scripture. He may still try to mumble away a few words of prayer and things like those. But these things are no delightful things to him. Not just that they are not delightful things to him. He doesn't do them with meaning, with the thing he truly wants to do. They've become routine, ritualistic, just like that. Now, we can all, even a lively Christian, may realize that the devil will challenge delight, but when delight at least goes away, there is the sense that this is important. When our hearts are alive, then even when delight itself, as we struggle with it, the sense that this is an important matter is still upheld and still taken seriously. And so we are told here that the backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways. Now the text means this. When a person is this backsliding, as we have discussed, he shall be filled with his own ways. Now he will be absorbed with his own affairs, with his own lifestyle, and the consequences of it, you see. And so when I'm backsliding, I will become so self-absorbed, interested in my affairs, my opinion, my interest, my likes and dislikes, and then God will respond and will leave me to have the consequences of what my ways lead to. And so it is a mark of backsliding when we are filled with our own ways and my own plans and schemes. And I'm no longer a person that says, but what's the mind of the Lord? What's the scriptures teaching? What is it that the Lord will have me do? And these things no longer concern me. I'm absorbed with my own ways. And as I mentioned, what I'm absorbed in my own way, the Lord will also respond to this by really letting me feel the consequences of this. And a good man shall be satisfied from himself. A good man, the opposite of the backsliding person, shall be satisfied with himself. You see that they're satisfied. Shall be satisfied is italized. It's not literal in the Greek, but the sentence makes it warrantable, makes it such that it has to be there. Shall be satisfied from himself. He will see such wonderful fruit so that he will be contented. He will be joyful in the fact that he has grace to walk with the Lord. He will have evidences in himself. And from the evidences of a real lively communion with the Lord, he will be satisfied and glad that he is in that state. Now, we have to, let me turn to something. Oh, friends, let me move on to the next one, then I will turn to that passage. What is it that triggers backsliding? What is it that triggers this heart backsliding? Hebrews has a beautiful answer to give us. And I'm turning to the book of Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 12. The book of Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 12. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. And so there is the problem of not taking heed. Take heed, brethren, that there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief. So backsliding begins with failure to take heed, to watch over my heart and to see whether there is an evil heart growing. You know, the old nature isn't removed, and so an evil heart comes in. What is an evil heart? An evil heart is the opposite of the good heart the Gospels speak about the parable of the sower. The evil heart is a heart of unbelief. He no longer sincerely believes in the things of Scripture. You see, a backslider in heart comes very close to a hypocrite. And so we stress again, when I am backsliding, it is actually only a recovery that should assure me that I'm a genuine child of God. In that condition, if you want to just play with your soul and say, oh, don't worry, I'm still a Christian, only a backsliding Christian, well, you'll be behaving very unwisely. Because in the heart of this evil heart, there's unbelief. Unbelief in the sense that the things that Christians embrace and therefore rejoice in, he no longer embraces them. He no longer sincerely, for example, rejoices in Calvary. He no longer looks upon Calvary and is moved and affected and is drawn to love the Savior. He is no longer moved by the theme of grace. The doctrines don't move him. They are not precious to him. Studying it, reflecting over them and drawing lessons from them are no longer important to him. He no longer cares whether he is living for the Savior or not. This is unbelief. He doesn't care whether there's any God to be pleased or not. He simply may be concerned with about a few moral do's and don'ts to keep life neat and smart. But he really doesn't care about whether God is pleased or not. This is unbelief. And also, there's no dependence upon the Lord. He ceases to live a life of faith. And so, a life of prayer collapses because he doesn't look to the Lord. He doesn't really feel he needs the Lord. He may talk it, but he never senses that he needs the Lord and that he depends upon his help and that he depends upon his blessing and that he depends upon his support and that he depends upon his understanding and light, because now unbelief is taking over and unbelief covers over all these things, because faith makes me embrace these things and to take hold of them with all seriousness. But unbelief, an evil heart of unbelief, scorns these things and no longer takes them seriously. And there's no value, as I mentioned, for the teachings of Scripture. And there's no value for church communion and the fellowship of the believers. The whole idea of a church, a body belonging to Christ, and I am a part of it, is no longer a cherished thing. You remember, he's filled with his own way. He's absorbed with his own affairs and his own aims and ambitions. And so he's no longer interested in these arrangements that God has made. And so a backslider begins with the failure to watch over our hearts and begin to see that our interest is becoming more self-centered. Here is a clue. Am I becoming self-absorbed? Am I becoming more about me, my interest, what I want, what I'm pleased with, rather than a constant interest and constant inquiry into what will the Lord have me do? What is His will? What does the Scripture teach? And what is required of me as a Christian in every department of my life? If this thing is lost, backsliding has entered in, because then I cannot watch over my heart. And so an evil heart will enter in, and I will begin to really deeply scorn the things that are taught in Scripture. I will not value them. I will not take them seriously. And so we cease to watch over our hearts and see whether we are becoming absorbed with ourselves and are losing focus of the Lord and my indebtedness to Him and how I'm called to live my life for Him. These things are all taken away. And then an evil heart enters in, an evil heart of unbelief. So you see, take heed, the passage says, we are warned. He isn't it? Take heed. Watch. I will speak on that when we come to the remedy. But friends, so this is what the key cause of backsliding in heart. Now, when this happens also, because there's been abandonment of self-examination, the Lord willing, I may be speaking about the duty of self-examination next week, unless perhaps for some reason I change my mind. Otherwise, we want to reflect on that very practical spiritual theme. And so, I no longer examine myself. My Christian life is left to a kind of an autopilot, so that I don't care that much. I don't weigh things. I don't weigh the inclinations of my heart. And so you see, I fail to guard and watch over my heart. I fail to do this because I cease to examine myself and to look at myself carefully with the help of the Lord. And then an evil heart of unbelief will surely set in. And there's another thing that contributes to this, verse 13, but exhort one another, Hebrews chapter 3 still, but exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. The last part of the verse, I will touch on that other consequences later, but the exhortation that we exhort one another while it is called today. And so another big contributory factor to backsliding in heart is where we are in a church environment where we are not challenged either by the word or the kind of companions we find ourselves in, even within the community of believers, don't challenge. They don't challenge unto godliness. And there are people who sadly like that. In the generality of the body of believers, they are nice persons, but they have persons they are very close to, which is okay. But the problem is this, when it comes to those two or three or so, that small number of them, that small person, or that person who is close to, between the two of them, they can easily ignore every biblical rule and they don't care. So that, for example, if in that close friendship they are helping each one out of to sin or to dishonor the Lord in some way, no one brings up a challenge. It's simply we all do it because we are friends in sin, sort of. And so when this happens to a local church, It is a very sad state where the close friendships have ceased to play their role in challenging unto godliness. Our friends, I don't want to go off from this, but let me read you this beautiful passage in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as they see the way approaching. And so he says that not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, but this is our purpose, is exhort one another. You see, we stir one another. You know, it elsewhere says that we stir one another to love and to good works. It's then verse 24. Let us consider one another to provoke to love and to good works. Unfortunately, the church made the leadership or whatever, the leadership or the minister may be laboring for a larger congregation where a number of obvious open misbehavior is not allowed. But unfortunately, you'll find the smaller individual friendships left so much open that there's not that stirring to love and to good works. There's not that stirring to obedience and to the honoring of Christ. If this happens, then backsliding happens right in the church. The friendships in the church cease to become an engine to promote godliness. Rather, becomes a way, a means by which Satan exploits to bring many into hard backsliding. May we, friends, each one of us, be so careful. Friends, are we playing our role? Friends, those who are close to us, are we setting before them the standards? And are we letting them realize that you are my best friend? And what would make our friendship truly last is our mutual support of one another unto good works and unto honoring the Lord and unto respecting the rest of the brothers, so that we are not two friends loyal to one another to the disregard of the rest of the body. No, this will always be exploited by Satan, but rather whatever closeness we have profits the rest of the brethren. And we try, each one of us, to remind ourselves of our duty and of our calling and of that which the Lord expects of us, along with prayer for one another. My dear friends, I'm already getting into some of the remedies, but friends, we touch on this, that when this lacks, then backsliding, especially backsliding in heart. This is so much important. I don't want to spend too much time here. It's important that we are dealing with backsliding in heart. Because sometimes there will be some friendship they may not promote open sins. You may not have a fellow church member who may openly say, oh, let's go and tell a lie. This thing may not happen, but you see scripture, when it comes to Christian friendship, it's more positive. Yes, we may not be telling each other to go and tell a lie, but what positives do we stir? Are we stirring spirituality? Are we stirring deepening in grace and loving the Lord and things like those through our friendships? Otherwise, the devil exploits that and there becomes a machine to us, or rather promote much of heart backsliding. When there's backsliding, what happens? What are some of the results, the consequences of backsliding? And we have said, people become absorbed to their own selves. As our passage said, the backsliding heart shall be filled with his own way. This is what will happen to him, as well as this is the way God would treat him. God will let him be filled with his own way. You will have not much aid from the Lord. You will realize that there will be no answers to prayer. You are left to yourself. And then Hebrews chapter 3 verse 18 tells us your heart will harden. Your heart will harden through deceitfulness of sin. In Hebrews chapter 3 verse 13, we read a short while ago. Your heart will harden. Sin will lie to you. You will begin to excuse sin and to pamper yourself and to really try and minimize the seriousness of your sin. You may see the sins of others serious and minimize every one of yours because you have been left to your lies. And the Lord has left you to be deceived by sin. And so your heart will harden. When the heart hardens, there will be no delights in spiritual things. There's loss of assurance. There'll be no real joy and peace in believing in spiritual things. That faith will communicate no comfort to your heart. The thoughts that you are a Christian will be virtually meaningless to you. You would rather be proud that you occupy some important position in the world, or perhaps are able to possess something or acquire something. Strangely, you begin to delight in these things more than the glorious fact that I'm a child of God, that my Father is in heaven, that my life is in his hands, and he turns it according to his mind and will, and I will ever be shown kindness because goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. These things will be of no delight to you. And then I will lose instrumentality. I will not be a help to anyone. The friendship within which I find myself, I will not be a help. I will not be a means of edification and challenge and comfort and genuine blessing. Also, I may still pick up religious terms, and then as people do, you know, we can always be able to quote a few verses and talk about the Bible. Oh, but I know in my own heart, but I have no consolation from scripture. I have no consolation from the promises. When I only walk around Christians, I only quote the Bible and talk about it. So remember, we're dealing with backsliding in heart. You see, and so outwardly I can put up all the niceties and be quoting Bible and talk about it and be able to try and use it to talk to people. As if, yes, I want to be able to tell others about what the Bible says. But the trouble with this, I am not able to draw consolations myself from scripture. It's promises, it's doctrines, and how the Lord, the Savior, is revealed here. And the church of the Lord, the body of believers, will not be a delightful place. I don't care whether I go there or not, because the believers, the body of believers, and the community of worship will lose its meaning and power and interest to me. And so some people will still delight in going to church as a matter of routine. They've done that for years, and some may do that because that's where they will have opportunity to merely talk about things, to really have more reasons to quieten their consciences. You see, they are not really living in communion with God, but they pick up a religious conversation, well, it gives them some kind of feeling that they are still religious, or they are still maintaining some spiritual life. Remember, John Bunyan pictures that in Mr. Talkative, where he tells us that he's able to talk about things religious as well as things worldly, things heavenly as well as things earthly. Everywhere he has a tongue to talk about anything. And so the virtue, the fact that somebody can easily pick up spiritual conversation, easily talking, always quoting Bible, things like that, well, it has to be truly made useful by the Lord if our own hearts are right, my dear friends. And eventually, the Lord will have to bring in his chastening rod. He would have to, if we are his children, friends. Here will be a big difference between a genuine child of God and a hypocrite. The book of Hebrews says, a bastard. When a child of God backslides in heart and gets into that state, eventually more open sins will be seen. Usually the sins that manifest themselves openly first in a backsliding in heart is pride and arrogance and self-centeredness and everything that points to me. You remember the passage? It starts within myself. I'm occupied with myself. When the backsliding grows, and then it becomes very obvious, I become the center. I want to be the center of admiration and of everything. I don't really care about the Lord and his honor and the Savior alone glorified and his will done. I'm more interested in me and attention to me. And pride comes in. Once pride comes in, eventually there's worldliness, worldly opinions, worldly interests, because so, and if I'm a genuine child of God, then there must be the chastening of the Lord. The Lord must come in to really humble me and to put me down in order to recover me. Friends, otherwise, I may have to consider myself likely not to be a Christian. To start with, this is what the book of Hebrews tells us in chapter 12. How may we recover? As the Bible says in Revelation, we must always remember where we have fallen and go to the Lord and repent and plead with him. We must remember and we must see clearly what we have ceased doing. We must recognize how we have neglected our hearts and we no longer have cared about the inclinations of our hearts. We have satisfied ourselves with the fulfillment of merely outward gestures of religion. We must feel this keenly. If we are genuine children of the Lord, we have known what it is to give heart attention to matters of the Lord. We have known what it is to be more concerned about whether I truly love the Lord, whether I truly want to please him, whether I'm interested in his worship, whether I'm interested in his word, whether I truly trust in him, and I rest all my hopes upon him. And it is from his hand alone do I look for all my provisions and for all my, yes, I may have sufficient means to get through whatever the things I need, but I've been taught by God to learn to pray over matters and to come before him as my father and to lay the affairs of my life before him. If you're a genuine child of God, you must have known this before, because this is how a child of God behaves towards his father, at least at the early times of your conversion. And so begin to see where you have fallen, where you began to feel self-confident. You are filled with your own ways. You are filled with yourself. See where you've fallen and then repent and plead with the Lord. You know that plea? Now, I mentioned this only as a place to remind us in Psalm 80. In Psalm 8, there's a plea for the restoration here, and it's so beautiful. Verse 18 and 19. Let me read you part in verse 7, verse 3. It runs through this chapter, so I'm picking out a number, a few. Verse 3. Turn us again, O God, and cause thy face to shine, and we shall be saved. And it repeats the same thing in verse 7. And then he comes there to verse 8 and 9. So will not we go back from thee. Quicken us, and we will call upon thy name. Turn us again, O Lord of hosts. Cause thy face to shine, and we shall be saved. So will not we go back from thee. Quicken us, and we will call upon thy name. Now call upon the Lord, plead with him. Friends, wait upon him until he has restored a sense that he is your all. A sense that you depend entirely upon him. If that isn't restored, backsliding is still in the soul. And so, watch, listen to the psalmist. So will not we go back. And that's when the Lord has restored them. So will not we go back from thee. Quicken us, give us life in the soul. And we will call upon thy name. We will do this continually. We'll be praying persons, ever lifting up our voices to thee in all circumstances, with praise also, of course. But this will become a habitual thing. This is what the psalmist is saying. And we will call, we will do this continually, ever calling upon thy name, you see. And so we go to the Lord and plead for pardon and ask him to restore us and to renew us and to give us fresh life. We should ask him. And as I said, we should never be satisfied until the Lord has restored into our souls a sense that the Lord is our all and that we depend truly upon him. As we call upon him, let us strive to at least take up some of the duties we have left undone. Some of the things, now take them up. Take the duties. Have you neglected prayer? Take up the times of prayer. Do that with some reflection. Keep crying to the Lord through it all. Do that with reflection. Recover the times of prayer. Recover the times of reading. And every responsibility we're bearing for the Lord. One thing that would have happened is that you may have been doing that without reflection. Without real thought of the one to whom you are doing it. It's become a mere routine and there has not been any longing for blessing over that. Now, we want to take up this and then give time to reflect over this. The third thing is this, to be restored from backsliding, some separation sometimes may be required. Sometimes it may be separation from people. You may have realized that you are in a company of supposed believers who don't stir each other to godliness. You have to go out from that. You cannot continue in that and be able to maintain spiritual vibrancy. Now, they will pour cold water upon everything again. As I mentioned, they may not tell you to go and tell a lie or some commit some open sin, but they are worldly talk. They are carnal opinions. They are direction to personal feelings and personal interests will lure you. And they will dampen your spirit. And they would dampen any desire of putting all your hopes in the Lord. You wouldn't live a life of faith because they are talking more about themselves and about money and about acquisitions and things like those. And so, friends, you may have to separate yourself from that. Sometimes we may have bought something that is getting too much of us. It may require some separation from that. So we have to reflect through this very carefully before the Lord. And see where we may have to deal with the problem. So, but remember, some separation will be required. Remember, Psalm 1 tells us this. Blessed is the man who does not, I'm paraphrasing the entire verse because it takes them step by step, does not maintain company with the ungodly. And so, friends, whether in where he stands, where he walks, where he stands, where he sits, he separates from them. And then, friends, Oh, reflect much upon Calvary again. If it is difficult, go to the gospel narratives and read afresh Calvary, the love of the Savior in coming. Think of it, that God's own Son came, the wonder of all wonders, that the Lord God sent his own Son, the greatest of all gifts. The Savior came to bear away the punishment of sin for needy sinners. Now, friends, think of it frequently, even if it doesn't awaken any strong desires in your heart. Never be discouraged. Go on, reflect and praise him for what he did, and pledge yourself afresh to him. So reflect upon Calvary, praise the Savior, pledge yourself afresh to him. Do this continually. Make it a daily affair, at least 2 times a day, morning and night perhaps, and then keep it going. And friends, we say this, as I have said this, don't assume anything. If the Lord awakens your heart, you will know it. And as the psalmist says, one of the things you would see is that you will see the Lord as your all, and so you will call upon him. You will become a man or woman of intense prayer. You will pray much. You will pray over everything. You would pray over every situation, and your trust in the Lord will become evident that you do not trust in anything more than the Lord. My dear friends, then the blessing there will be ours. Back again to the passage where we started with in our Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 14. Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 14, where we have those words we started with. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 14. The backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways. The Lord will do this as a chastisement, and a good man shall be satisfied from himself. When our hearts are made good, restored to the Lord, we will see what he has done, and we'll be so glad. We will draw so much. It is not a sense of perfection that will be foolish. We will see that the Lord is granting strength and enabling, and is granting progress, and then is granting a more humbleness of mind and more dependence upon him. He's granting us more natural desire to go and lay our case before the Lord. We will spot these things and a grief if we ever sin against the Lord, and the attitude of taking sin more seriously. We will see these things, and even though we may have sinned and gone to the Lord and confessed, the fact that we had the grace to take the sin seriously, it may have been a heart sin which nobody saw. It may not have been an outward sin, but a heart sin which nobody noticed, perhaps a pride, or as the hymn writer said, or a fond desire, some worldly desire, worldly ambition rising in my heart, and conscience really stirred itself against me. And then I went to the Lord and sought for pardon. And then, well, the fact that your inner life is becoming a matter of concern, genuine concern to you, will fill you with satisfaction. Satisfaction that spiritual life has returned by the grace of God. And we must keep growing. We must keep moving on. Because if we stand still, we actually backslide. We don't stand still. We have to keep going, keep growing, keep moving, keep striving, keep fighting. Because this is the Christian path. May the Lord help each one of us, my dear friends. Now, let's turn to hymn number 450 to reflect upon these words. Number 450, oh, for a heart to praise my God, a heart from sin set free, a heart that's sprinkled with the blood so freely shed for me. This is a very beautiful reflection for our studies. Let's pray together. Our gracious God and our loving Heavenly Father, we truly feel surprised that in spite of all the wonderful privileges of the Christian life and the wonderful promises, we can still backslide, we can still fall behind, we can still grow cold. This is so strange, yet Lord, it so happens to each one of us. Give us grace to keep a watch over our hearts, that we may notice its presence early, that we may seek help at thy hand. Give us grace to be sincere and not to deceive our own hearts. O Father, help each one of us and bless us. For we ask these things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Saviour, and for his sake. Amen.